We'll start with something short on Parshas Shlach, and then we'll move backwards. In Parshas Shlach, you have the story of the Meraglim, and then at the very end of the story, the story of the Meraglim is pretty well known, that the Meraglim went out, they came back with a bad report, the Bnei Yisrael got cold feet, Hashem got very angry at them. Then the last few psukim of the story is the Maisa of the Mapilim. And this story is not as well known and not well understood. The Torah says that after Moshe Rabbeinu read them their sentence, that they're going to be punished, they're not going into Eretz Yisrael, they felt terrible. And then in the next pasuk it says that a bunch of Yidden got up and they said, Hinenu ve'alinu. No, we're ready, we're going. Elamachem asher amar Hashem, ki chatanu. We know we did wrong, but now we're going. Moshe Rabbeinu told them, no, now Hashem told you, you're not allowed to go. You can't go. He said, Moshe Rabbeinu says, you shouldn't go up. You're going to get defeated. And they said, no, we're going anyway. And then it says, Vayapilu lalei sahara, Vamaleki vakanani hoisa ba'aretz. And then it says, Vayakum vayaksum. They all got wiped out. Whoever was involved in this movement, they went into Eretz Yisrael, they got attacked by the Canaanim and the Amalekim, and they got killed. So what do we make of these people? The Torah calls the Mapilim, Vayapilu. They, right, Vayapilu with an ayin, a lashon of ayin, pei lamed. In modern Hebrew, they called the illegal immigrants that came during the British Mandate are called the Mapilim. Named after this parish, this is an illegal immigration. But it's funny that they were named, they're regarded heroically, but they're being named after this parish or this parish. At least in the simple reading of the parish, these people are considered villains. They were going against Moshe when they said what Baruch Baruch Hu said. But that's the lashon, the Mapilim, and they tried to take Eretz Yisrael against HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, and they were wiped out. The simple reading of the Torah is that they were avar yanim, they were violating the Ratzon Hashem. It's a very interesting Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Tzadi Vav, Tzadi Zayin. The Gemara is talking about Slafchad. Slafchad is another obscure character that comes up in Bamidbar. In Parashas Pinchas, we meet the Benoit Slafchad, that they came and they said, our father Slafchad, he died, but we have no brothers, there's only daughters. What are the rules of Yerusha when there's only girls and no boys? And then Moshe Rabbeinu got a special nevuah to teach him the rules of the nevuah for the Bnei Slafchad. There's Sugi Simav Abastra talking about this, the rules of the Bnei Slafchad. Who was Slafchad? Right? He's only famous through his daughters, but who was Slafchad? So the Gemara says, in Shabbos of Sadivav, Rabbi Akiva says that Slafchad was the Mekoshesh. Mekoshesh, he appears in this week's parasha, just a few psukim. He was somebody that was gathering wood on Shabbos. Not clear exactly which malach he was doing, but let's say he was gathering wood. And he was caught being Mechal Shabbos, and this was, the Bnei Yisrael had just received the Torah, they knew there was a mitzvah of Shabbos, they knew Mechal Leah Mois Yumas, and this was the test case. Here somebody was Mechal Shabbos, and he had to be put to death, and they had to get instructions about exactly how to do it. That was the parsha of the Mekoshesh. So Rabbi Akiva says that you have these two obscure stories in Sefer Bamidbar, Slafchad, the Mekoshesh, Zok Rabbi Akiva, they're one and the same. Slafchad was the Mekoshesh. Rabbi Hudiman B'Seir responds to Rabbi Akiva, and he says, why are you being Maitzi Laz al Oisei Tzadik? First he says that, if you're right, then the Torah was trying to conceal it. Why are you going and revealing it? And if you're wrong, you're being Maitzi Laz al Oisei Tzadik. Slafchad was a good man. Why are you saying that he was a Mechal Shabbos? So Ella, Rabbi Hudiman B'Seir says, what's the real pshat in Slafchad? Min ha-mapilim haya. He was one of the mapilim. So Rashi already notices the Gemara, there's something very unclear in the Gemara. Rabbi Yudim Abaseir is objecting to Rabbi Akiva for calling him a Mechal Shabbos. He says, we're being Moitzi Laz al Oisei Tzadik. And then he just goes and takes him from one parsha of Aveira into another parsha of Aveira. He wasn't the Mekoshesh, he was the Mapilim. He's still no Tzadik. What's the big difference between one and the other? So the Chassam Sofer says, he thinks that in this Gemara holds the key, he says, to understanding what's going on in the story of the Mapilim. He thinks the pshat is like this. The Bnei Yisrael were just told that you can't go to Eretz Yisrael. Hashem took them out of Mitzrayim and said, I'm taking you to Eretz Yisrael. He intended, as of when we opened the Torah this Shabbos, right, you know, the beginning of Parsha Shlach, the plan was they're going straight into Eretz Yisrael. Then the story of the Meraglim, whatever pshat you're going to say in the story, there's some kind of a lack of bitachin, and Hashem said, okay, that's it, you can't go anymore. Zot Zachsam Sefer, you know, there's a story, there's a couple of stories in the Gemara that this is reminiscent of. The Gemara says that, the Gemara in Chagiga, that there was a baskal that came down about the character known as Acher. He was a Tana, the Rebbe. He was formerly a Tana. Elisha ben Avuyi was the Rebbe, Rebbe Meir. Then he saw things that made him lose his faith, and he stopped keeping the mitzvot of the Torah. He started being Machal Shabbos. And then he heard a baskal that said, Shuvu banim shevavim chutz me Acher. Shuvu banim shevavim is the lashon of a pasuk in Avi, that shevavim means those that are doing Averis. Whatever Averis you're doing, shuvu, could do tshuva. Chutz me Acher. The baskal said, Acher's tshuva I don't want. Acher heard that, and that was like the last straw for him, and then he became the biggest rasha. The Shlo HaKadosh writes, and there's a lot of makaris for this, in this Mekubalim, the Shlo says this, the Reishis Chachma says this. I think I saw it quoted B'Shem Reb Chaim Vital also, maybe it's an Arizal, I don't know. But the Shlo HaKadosh says that the way to understand that Gemara, the Shuvu Banim Shavavim Chutz Me'acher, is in light of a Gemara in Pesachim Daf Peivav. The Gemara over there, it seems to be talking about a very mundane topic about like Hilchas Derech Eretz at a Suda, and it says, Kol Ma She'emel Chabal HaBayis Asei Chutz Mitzei. You're supposed to, as a guest, how do you, it's like the Gemara saying, what are the rules for being a good guest? And it says, whatever the host tells you, you should do Chutz Mitzei. Except if he says, go out. If he tells you to leave, then you're not supposed to listen. So the Gemara, a simple reading of the Gemara, it's like telling, you know, tips for being a polite, respectful guest. The Mekubalim say that this Gemara really holds the biggest histories in the world. That the Baal Bayis, the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And Kol Ma She'emelcha Baal Bayis Asei, Chutz Mitzei. You're supposed to listen to everything the Rebbeinu Shalom tells you, except when he says, I don't want you anymore. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, get out, I don't want you. So it's an expression, it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu means to be conveying how upset he is. But you're not supposed to take it literally. Because it's always possible to do tshuva. And sometimes a person is holding at a point that he's supposed to get that message. It's supposed to be that difficult for him to do tshuva. There are things that are oimni b'fnei tshuva. So the baskol that Acher heard was an authentic baskol. But what it was really meant as was it was supposed to make it so hard for him to do tshuva because he even heard that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want him. But he was supposed to realize, but you're never supposed to accept that message. Kol Ma She'emelcha Baal Bayis Asei Chutz Mitzei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says I don't want you, then you're supposed to persevere and push through and Gedol Tshuva Shadoicha Leisasa Shabbatayra. The Tzadik HaKohen says it means the same thing when the Gemara says that Gedol Tshuva Shadoicha Leisasa Shabbatayra. It means this. It means that even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says don't, you're still supposed to do Tshuva. Nothing is even b'fnei Tshuva. There's nothing that's allowed to stop a person from doing Tshuva. So Zok Tachsam Sefer, that's what was going on by the Mapilim. The Mapilim said, oh, we were told, you're staying there. Hashem wants us to go into Eretz Yisrael. We were told, think of the Lashon. They said, Hinenu v'alinu. We're going in because we sinned. Now, because we sinned is an expression that explains why you're doing tshuva. Here, when you read the Torah, it's the Pshuta Shel Mikra, it sounds like they were just doing a bigger aver. They're compounding their aver with another aver. That's the kichatan. We're doing this because we sinned, we want to do this. So Zok Tachsam Sefer, they were doing tshuva. And they saw themselves as the acher. As they had gotten the message of Tzei. When Hashem said, you're not going into Eretz Yisrael, what it meant was, I'm making it that hard for you to do tshuva. But their tshuva was to go into Eretz Yisrael. And even Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them not to go, but they did it because they wanted to be Moshe Nefesh for tshuva. And they went through, they pushed, they were mapilim, and they died in the process. Zok Tachsam Sefer, they were gavaldik tzadikim. They died in the process of doing tshuva. And therefore, that's the pshat when Rabbi Yehuda Seira says that slavchar alama to mitz lad v'leisit tzadik min ha'apilim haya. The mapilim, what they did definitely was controversial. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't recommend it, but they're viewed as tzadikim because they were mitzvah nefesh for tshuva.
Shouldn't they have been saved then? Like, why?
They I guess they their salvation was that they went straight to Olam Haba.
They did the right thing.
Yeah, Lefi Zeh, so they were Moser Nefesh for their tshuva, and they got a kapara through it. That was the saving. They got a kapara through it.
Why did Moshe Rabbeinu just go when Hashem said he can't go?
Oh. I don't know.
But the pshat nechutz mitzeh, v'adrech pshat, is this: you don't want to wait till the ba'is tells you to leave. You have to know when to leave by yourself
before that.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's Rav Akiva's basis to say that he was the Makor Shei Shaitzim?
Good question. I don't know.
You have to ask him.
I don't know.
When you say
it. No. I think if you look, it's Shabbos Tadiv Avon Beis. I think he brings the Makar. He has a remez in the pasuk. I don't remember.
Isn't
that
the Mekoshish
was
also
a Ver Lishma? Yes. It tells him of Basra, I think, that says that the Mekoshish was also Lishma. Okay, for another time. All right, now switching.
The Meraglim did the Lashon Hara, right?
Yeah.
Why didn't they get Saras?
Okay, maybe next week. All right, Parshas Bahava Yitzcha.
Maybe they didn't get Saras when she said the Lashon Hara.
Okay. Back in Parshas Bahava Yitzcha, so there's a lot of stories going on in Bahava Yitzcha. One of the events that happened in Parshas Bahava Yitzcha was the Bnei Yisrael had the Asaf Sefasha Bekirbam, his Avu Tava, and they said that we don't want to be stuck with eating manul all the time. Bilti ala mani neinu, that we want Zacharnos Hadagash, Anachem Mashayim Chinam. We remember the good old days of Mitzrayim, we had fish, it was free, it was very nasty, what they were saying. And
by the way, the Russian is also noicha. They don't say Hashem ochalnu b'mitzvayim.
Oh, really?
So there was nine laturis when they were already planning to go back.
Wow. Okay. That's a gishmakadiyak. Okay, very nice. So they're having this rebellion, and then eventually Hashem sends them the slav, but it wasn't b'rotzin toiv, so this slav was a cursed slav, a poisoned slav. But in the middle of that discussion, the Torah says that Moshe Rabbeinu went out, Vayaras Ha'am Boichel Mishpachaisav. He saw them, so the Pshuta Shel Mikra is, he saw them crying in family groups. But Rashi brings down the Chazal said a very surprising medrash. So Gemara and Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed, that Boichel Mishpachaisav means Al Iske HaMishpachais, they were crying about family matters, Al Ha'arayos Shenestru Lahem. The Arayos that became Aser, they received the Torah, and now Arayos became Aser, and that was a bechia in the Mishpachais, because seemingly the Gemara means to say it was breaking up Mishpachais. Previously, they were allowed to marry whoever they wanted, and you had people that were married to relatives. And then the Torah was given, and their relatives became Aser, and now a family unit was going to be broken up. So they were crying, and that's what they were crying about. Bechel Mishpachais, Aval Iskei Arayos. Right, like a Yaakov Avinu, so even having in that dar, Amram and Yecheved would be, Exhibit A. Amram was married to an aunt. The Torah was given, and there wasn't a lot. We don't know when Amram died exactly. Was he still there at that time? I don't know. But if they were, they would become Aser on each other. So they were Boichel Meshpachaisav. That's the simple pshat in the Gemara. And there's a kasha, the Maral asks a kasha that they're becoming usher on one another on their arise because the Torah was given, right? They just went through a mountain Torah and now the Torah was given. But when the Torah was given, so they all went through a gerus. The rule, all the halakhas of gerus, the whole process of gerus is learned from mountain Torah, right? A ger is nichnas le Yisrael with mila and tefillah. Both of those, the Gemara and Yevamos learns that from the parashas by mountain Torah. There was a mila, there was a tefillah. And that's where we learn Hilchas Geirus from. So they just went through a Geirus. What's the halacha of a Gershonis Geir with his family, the relatives? All the Arayas are mutter. Because Gershonis Geir, Katan Shanoila Dami, right? Katan Shanoila Dami, he's a new person. So he has a sister. His sister's not really a sister anymore, or more relevant, right? Or narrowly part of his sister, don't want to marry each other, but a sister in law. Right, the case of the Gemara in Yevamos Mistaf Sadi Zayin is Shnei Achim Shenes Gairu. If you have two brothers that were Megayer, they both have a wife. If ultimately they divorce their wives or one of them dies and then the other one wants to marry his sister, well, he's Mutter because it's his brother's wife. No, it's not his brother anymore because they were both Megayer. Ger Shenes Gairu, Kakat and Shanei Ladami. So if that's the case, Vrek the Maral, so everybody had just gone through a Geirus process. So let's say you had Amram and Yecheved. It was an aunt and a nephew. They were married to each other. Then the Torah was given. Torah says that you're not allowed to be married to your aunt. But once they went through Matan Torah, she wasn't his aunt anymore. Gershon is Gerker Shana Eldami. Their parents weren't siblings anymore. There's no more kurva. So why should they become Aser? That's the kasha that the Maral asks. And I want to go through three different answers from three different, we'll call it, backgrounds of Torah. One al derech hapshat, one al derech drush, and one al derech lamdas. Those are going to be the three.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
You know, everybody learned it, that the Avos kept calling it Torah Kula, right?
Yes.
So how did Avram Avinu do that?
You mean Yaakov?
I mean Yaakov.
Yeah, so that's a good question. Did we even, I don't know if we once had a shiur about that. Certainly there's no shortage of discussion about that. We're going to leave that aside for today. Maybe one day we'll have a shiur about that. I'm not sure that we didn't. I'm not sure that we didn't, but maybe not. I don't know.
But the question is, if they were misguided, they were all misguided when I came to it.
But in this case, in the Gemara and Yevamis, you had the two brothers who were both Magaya.
Right.
And nevertheless, okay, but is it going to be different over here? So that's what we're going to explore that. So first on the Derech HaPshat, there's a Rambam that indicates that the Maral has the wrong pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara that says, Boichel Mishpachaysav, Al Iske Arayish and Esu Lahem, that seemingly it means that there were families that were torn apart because of the new Isser of Arayis. The Rambam seems to learn a different pshat in the Gemara. Now, when I say the Rambam seems to learn a different pshat, obviously the Rambam never wrote a commentary, or we don't have from the Rambam at least, a commentary on the Gemara. So he doesn't tell us how he learns pshat in the Gemara, especially not on Agada does. But we could sometimes figure out how the Rambam learned pshat in the Gemara based on how he brings it down. The Rambam will often bring down a Gemara in the Yad HaChazaka, without quoting, he never quotes that it's a Gemara, but he'll just say over a Gemara, and from the context and how he quotes it, we could learn how he understood it. The Rambam brings down this Gemara about the Bnei Yisrael being Boichel Mishpachosav, when the Torah was given, they were crying about Arayos. He brings it down at the very end of Hilchis Yisuri Bia. Hilchis Yisuri Bia is in Sefer Kedusha, it's one of the sections in the Rambam's Yad HaChazaka, and the Rambam, ordinarily at the when you read through Rambam, so generally speaking, it's very dry, it's very legalistic, it's just laws. But the exception is at the end of each section, at the end at least of many sections, he gets in a little bit too. He sort of like lets his hair down a little. It's a little bit less of a tense, rigid halacha discussion, and he starts talking more, a little bit more with feeling, and divrei chizuk, divrei hisayrus. And at the end of Hilchos Yisuri Bia is 20-something chapters long, and it goes through all of the arayas of the Torah and all of the other isuri, the isuri lavim, the isuri asei, of in the context of whom you're allowed to marry, whom you're not allowed to marry. And he goes through all of the nitty-gritty details of the halachos of under what circumstances is asur, what you're chayiv, and when you're chayiv, and with kedushin, without kedushin. And then at the end of the whole thing, he has a few paragraphs of divrei musarvis, ayuris, about arayis in general. And he brings down these gemaras that arayis is from those things, that nafsha shal adam mechamdasai, and adam nitzal mimenu b'chol yoyim, that it's a very, very difficult nesayin, it's a very hard parsha in the Torah to observe properly. He even writes over there, it's a very interesting lashon. He says that b'chol dar v'dar, he says in every sometimes people think, and people look around and they say, look at the standards nowadays. Oh, what happened nowadays? And he says, no, it's not a nowadays. He says it was always like this. This is always an area where Yidden struggled because it's a very hard mitzvah. And then in the context of that discussion, Zok the Rambam, the Chazal tell us that when the mitzvah was given, the Bnei Yisrael received it with crying. Which is obviously a reference to this Gemara in Shabbos. The Rambam, understood that when the Boichel Mishpachosav, the Gemara says, it doesn't mean because of any special circumstances then that there was a husband and a wife, that then the parasha of rights was given and they became usher on each other. They were crying because, for the same reason you and I should cry about the parasha of Arayis, because it's a hard parasha. The Torah demands a very high level of zahiris, of tznius, and the burden of that level was overwhelming for them, and that's why they cried. So if that's the pshat in the Gemara, then the Maral's kasha doesn't start. Right? The kasha of the Maral of why were they becoming usher on their relatives? Well, what about Gershon, Skari, Kanshon, Eldam? I mean, according to the Rambam, the Gemara was not saying that they were becoming usher on their relatives. No, they were talking mutter. But it meant going forward, they were given a parasha of Arayas, and meant that now, from now on, they're going to have to observe all of the rules of the Torah about whom you're allowed to marry and whom you're not. And that was what caused them to cry. There's a Meshech Chachma that goes al derech zeh. Meshech Chachma in Parshas Vayeschanan, on the pasuk of Shuv Lechem La'alechem, Parshas Vayeschanan, you have the repetition of the Aseres Hadibros. So it's a Matan Torah being told over there. And it says at the end, after the Matan Torah, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, or he said to the Bnei Yisrael, and now Shuv Lechem La'alechem, everybody should go home. So the Meshech Chachma says that, you know, there's a rule that we find in Shas in a number of places, Gershon Eskari, Katan Shonel Dami, this rule that we've been talking about, Gershon Eskari, Katan Shonel Dami, and Chazal never told us where we learn it from. In fact, he even brings down a Chassam Sofer who writes that he was always troubled, how come Chazal never gave us a Makar? Where do we learn this from? The Meshech Chachma says, L'Anias Dati, I think we have a Mefurish Makar from this pasuk. It says, Shuvu lechem lo'aleichem, everybody go home, meaning return to your wife. Right? It was by Matan Torah, 3 days of Prisha, and then after Matan Torah, Hashem said, everybody go home, you're mutter to your wife. Zok the Meshech Chachma, but in between, since 3 days ago, what happened? They were given a Torah, and they were told, you're not allowed to be married to your sister-in-law, to your, right, all of the relatives, to your aunt. And among the Yidden, there were some that were married to aunts. There were some that were married to sisters-in-law. So how could Hashem tell him Shuv Lechem La'alechem? Teretz is because Gershon is Gary Cut and Chanel Dami. So this pasuk, like the Meshech Chachma, of Shuv Lechem La'alechem is the makor that Gershon is Gary Cut and Chanel Dami. The Maharal, he's using the same thought process as the Maharal, but going in the opposite direction. The Maharal was starting with the Gemara that says the Ubrochim Meshbachotzev. So he has the kasha. Why weren't they mutter to their wives? That's Gershon is Gary Cut and Chanel Dami. The Meshech Chachma starts with the pasuk of Shuv Lechem La'alechem and says, why weren't there Isurim? Teretz is, all their eyes became mutter because Gershon is Karek Kanshan Eldami. He doesn't address the Gemara about Baruch HaMash B'chaysev, Teretz is, because he was learning like the Rambam. That Baruch HaMash B'chaysev didn't mean that their families were actually getting interfered with. It just meant that from now on, they were going to have to be observing the halachas of Arayetz. So this is what I would call al-derech ha-pshat. If you learn this pshat in the Gemara, that it doesn't really mean that husbands were becoming usher on their wives, then the kasha doesn't start. Fine. But the Maral was understanding the Gemara that, and I think this is probably the pshut day of the Gemara, boichel l'shbachayzev, they were sitting there crying, it means because they were just majorly affected by the parasha of Arayis, because you had people who were married to women who they were no longer going to be allowed to remain married to because of the parasha of Arayis. On that, the Maral asks the kasha, what about Gershon Iskariot Katan Shonel Dami? So we're going to go on now to terrace number two, al derech ha, what did I call it? Drush. Al derech ha-drush. Believe it or not, this terrace is from the Ksais HaChayshin. Why do I say believe it or not? Because anybody that has some background in yeshiva, so you're familiar with the Ksais HaChayshin as sort of the, you know, he wrote the Svarim that are the staple of Lamdas. And, you know, he wrote the Ksais HaChayshin. He's also the author of the Avnim Eluim and the Shev Shmaitza. And all three of these are very, very heavy, right? Spitz, Lomdische, Svarim. And, you know, what one can spend a whole life in yeshiva and get the impression that the Ksais HaChayshin didn't have a drushy bone in his body. Right. But there's one thing that he left for us that reveals that it was not like that, because it is a Hagdama to the Sefer Shev Shmaitza, where he goes through is really some very, very beautiful drush and very well done. He was actually quite good at it, believe it or not. And over there he talks about this kasha. He quotes the Maral who talks about this kasha. He brings the Maral's answer, but he weaves it into a longer piece discussing the Inyanim of Parshas Baal Yischa. He says he has a kasha. This pasuk of Boichel Meshpachayzev, the way Rashi explains it, Boichel Meshpachayzev, Rashi brings down the Gemara in Shabbos, that it means Al Iske Meshpachayzev, they were crying about the Arayas, Shenesu Lahem. What's it doing over here? At the beginning of this year, I told you the context. The Bnei Yisrael were in the middle of complaining about the Mon. His Avu Taiva, we want food, we want food, right? That's what was going on over there. And then all of a sudden, says Moshe Rabbeinu looks out and he sees all the people crying. Zot Rashi about the Arayas. Now, when they're upset about their menu, they're crying about the arayas. What's the connection? So he brings down a vart from Al-Shach. The very beginning of this story, it says, "Vahasafsaf Hashavikirbam hisavu taiva." Hisavu, which is from the word taiva, they desired a taiva. What's this double lashon? Hisavu taiva, they desired a desire. Zokta Al-Shach, it means that they had a taiva for a taiva. What was their taiva for? Their taiva was to have a taiva. What does that mean? Their taiva was to have a taiva. So he says, let's back up a little bit. The very well known question that everybody talks about by Matan Torah, that Hashem said, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu came and asked Bnei Yisrael, Hashem wants to give you the Torah. What do you say? And what did they say? They said Nasav and Ishma, which was the best thing they could possibly say. Right? Mi Gila Roz Zelabanai, Hashem Baruch Hu said that was such a, that formula was something so special and magical. Hashem Baruch Hu was just overjoyed. And what did he do? The next thing he did, the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Peches, Vayisas V'Patach Tesahar, Kafa Kodesh Baruch Aleim Esahar Kegigis, V'Armo Lam Imbatim Mekam Besater Muta V'Im Lav Shem Teik V'Ratzchem. Now Hashem went, he uprooted the Har Sinai, he held it over their heads like a barrel, and he said, if you're Mekam Besater, good, but if not, I'm going to drop this on you, you're all going to be buried here. So Tez asked the Kasha, why in the world is the Kodesh Baruch getting all carried away with forcing them and insisting, but they said they wanted, they Nasav Nishma, they have no problem with it. So everyone asked this Kasha, Tez is asking on the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Peches, Chazal already, there's a Medrash Tanchuma that asked the question, and there are many, many answers. The Maral, in a very Maral-like fashion, the Maral says that the answer is that sure, Bnei Yisrael had said, Nasav Nishma, there was a Kabbalah to Torah Baratzain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want to give the Torah with just a Kabbalah Baratzain. A Kabbalah Baratzain, if somebody says, I accept, I'm willing, so such a relationship allows for the two possibilities. I could yes do it, I cannot do it, and I chose yes to do it. If they're forced into it, that means that the relationship is set up, is shtaldavek, in such a way that there aren't two possibilities. There isn't such a thing as Bnei Yisrael without the Torah. Right, that's true. That maybe is for the same reason. But had they just been mekabel the Torah with a Nasav and Ishma, that would mean that one could conceive of a Bnei Yisrael without the Torah. Because Baruch Hu wanted it that there is no such thing as a Bnei Yisrael without the Torah. He says that the connection when it comes through Oinus is a much stronger connection. Simin Ladavar, he says in the parasha of Oinus, the Torah says, L'yuchal L'shalcha Kol Yomav. A connection that comes through an Oinus, it's just a Simin Ladavar, it is much more of an immutable connection. That's why Kafar Lamet HaKigigis, it made them anusim on Kabbalah Satera, because Rahu wanted them to be anusim on Kabbalah Satera. So they came to the Torah now with these two relationships. They were anusim, kfuyim, muchrachim, we'll call it. They were muchrachim on the Torah. They were also volunteers. And in Israel, they wanted to be more of a volunteer. They wanted to amplify the Nasav Nishma aspect of Kabbalah Satera more than the Kaf Alayim Har Kegigis. They wanted to be mevatel their ruts and Tekash Baruch Hu's ruts and not just keep the Torah because they needed to, but here they were with a diet of mun. And mun, which is Shemayim Dika food, what kind of a teva is a meilin in a person? It's meilin in a person, Ruchnis Dika Sheifis. If they would be eating daga, kishum, avatichem, then, you know, if they would be eating what we eat, so they would feel like physical beings, like earthly beings like us, they would feel drawn towards other things outside of the Torah, away from God, and then they would have the opportunity to overcome that, to conquer the Yetzirah, and to voluntarily submit themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what they wanted. They were his avu, this is the Al-Shech, his avu taiva. Their desire was to have a taiva. They said, we don't like this mun all day. Nafshenu yevesha in koil bilti alamaninenu. Nafshenu yevesha, meaning that we have no taiva. We're like dried out. We have no taiva. Because all reading is the mun. And the mun is lechem abir machalisha, came through Moshe Rabbeinu. And it makes us drawn naturally to the Torah. We want to keep the Torah avada. But we want to keep the Torah through a kvishas hayetzer to show our loyalty to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't want to keep the Torah through having no choice because not having any other options, not having any other inclination. So too much man. We want something more artistic, more physical. That was the nature of their rebellion, so to speak. According to this, it wasn't such a rebellion, right? It was really a very frum machshava that they had, that they didn't want the man all day. The Meshech Chachma, who I don't think he quotes from the Al-Shech, but he says the same taich in his Savu Taiva, that they had a desire for a desire. And he says, Al-Pizeh, that, you know, there's another connection, in Parashat Va'alayim, there's a lot of stories that are overlapping, right? So you have, like I mentioned, the Baruch HaMishpach Yosef comes in the middle of the discussion of the Mon. Then you also have the Shivim Zakenim, where after Hashem said that you should go and you should give them meat, so Moshe Rabbeinu said, how am I going to get meat for all these people? So Hashem said, okay, we're appointing Shivim Zakenim that are going to be Nevi'im just like you, and we're going to make an Atzilas HaRuach from Moshe Rabbeinu to the Zakenim. And then this love came, and that was the response to the Bnei Yisrael's complaint about the Mon. So it's like jumping from topic to topic. They have the Mon complaint, then you have Moshe Rabbeinu getting 70 helpers, and then you have this love in response to the Mon complaint. What does one have to do with the other? So the Meshech Chachma says that they were his Avi Taiva, they wanted something more physical, because they wanted a more physical existence. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, if I give it to them, whatever I give them, it's going to have the same problem, because I'm already in Ishali Kim. I spent 40 days in Shemayim Lechem Le'echalti, Mayim Le'eshasisi. If I give them this love is also going to be Himmeldick. So we need to get other people. We need to get some more earthly types of earthlings to give them whatever we're going to give them, and then it could be a response to their Hisavu Taiva. So that's why the Shemayim Zakenim were added at that time.
Mm-hmm. How was this love different than so, none? In what so, nature?
Because that was more natural. That was not Lechem Shemayim. That was just birds. It was meat.
It was meat?
Yeah. Oh. It was flesh eggs. It's flesh sugar flesh. Chef Shmaitza. So the Chef Shmaitza says that this is the pshat. The connection with the Baruch HaMishpach Yosef to the story of the Mon. They were complaining. Wait, no, let me bring one more step first. He brings in the kasha of the Maral that we started with. The Maral said that the story of the Baruch HaMishpach Yosef, he doesn't understand because, good, they were given the parish of Arayas, but they were also Magayar, Gershon is Gayar, Kanshan El Dami, so they should all be Mutter on their Arayas. And the Maral said that the answer is that the reason why Gershon is Gayar, Kanshan El Dami is because someone that makes that break with his past, that, you know, strong move of voluntarily being Nichnas, giving up everything and being nichnas tachas kampei hashchina, b'kitzer, if somebody's megayer beratzoin, then that makes him kakat and shanel dami. That step is such a strong break. It's kakat and shanel dami. Ageris ba'oines, ageris b'kfia, that doesn't make kakat and shanel dami. Therefore, Zek the Maral, the Bnei Yisrael, since it was Kafalayim Har Kigigas, so Bnei Yisrael Har Sinai did not become Kagat and Shanei Lodami. And that's his answer to the question that we began with, the question of Baruch HaMishpach Yosef, why wasn't there a heter of Gershon Iskari Kagat and Shanei Lodami? They didn't have it because their Geiris was Bikfia. Zek the Shef Shmaitza, so when they were complaining about the Mon, what was their complaint? It's Avu Taiva. They said, there's two aspects to our Kabbalah Satera. There's the Kafalayim Har Kigigas aspect, There's the Nasa V'Nishma aspect, and we want to feel more of the Nasa V'Nishma aspect. That's why we're trying to move away from the Kafalayim Har Kigigas aspect. That's why we want a more earthly diet. We don't want to be eating the Mon all the time. In the same discussion, in the same context, Baruch HaMishpach Yosef, they wanted to have a heter in their relatives. They were usher on their relatives. Why? Why were they usher on their relatives? They were Magayar, Gershon Iskayar. Oh, the Teretz says because the Geirus was Ba'ines. That's what they were crying about. They weren't crying about the Isser itself. They were crying about if their relatives are usher, why are they usher? Why isn't there Gershon Iskayar? Teretz says because the Kabbalah Zatera was Ba'ines. That's what they're crying about. They were Hisavu Taiva. They wanted it to be Baratzin. If it would be Baratzin, their Arayas Vitaka become usher to them. So I'm sorry, the Arayas Mitaka become mutter because Gershon and Skyra Kan Shanel Dami. So the two cries were all along the same lines. It was all part of the same Hisavu Taiva is what made them want to have a heta to their relatives, because that would mean a Gershon and Skyra Kan Shanel Dami, meaning a Kabbal Satera Baratsoin, is also what wanted to them, what made them want to have a wider range of foods that they could eat, because that would also make their Asiyas HaMitzvahs more Baratsoin. It was all the same Hisavu Taiva. That's what he explains the connection. And then he also says, you know, just to tie together the whole parasha, the end of the parasha, what's the last episode in Baal Yischa, is Vatadab and Miriam Va'aron, right, against Moshe Rabbeinu. Chazal say that, yes, that Rashi brings down that it was really about that he was Merachik Tzipora, that he separated from Tzipora. That was what the Ishakushas really refers to Tzipora, and it refers to the fact that he was Perish from Tzipora. And Miriam said to Tzipora, why he was parish from you? And she said, yeah, because he's an Avi, so he can't live with me anymore. So Miriam came to Aaron and said, Lashon Hara, what's this? That the, you know, our brother thinks that because he's a Navi, he can't live with his wife. We're both Navi and we have regular family lives. So why can't he also? That was Lashon Hara that they said. So why did that emerge just over here? Like, of, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu, this has been going on since Parshas Shemais, that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi. So what happened over here that made Miriam and Aaron get start criticizing him? So the Shev Shmaitza says, along the lines of what we've been explaining, but this is with, I would say, more of a pilpul. There's the Gemara in Yevamos talks about the mitzvah of Puravu. What's the shir of Puravu? Beisilah say that it's a zachar and a keva. Beishamai say that it's shnei zacharim. Vesil says Zachar and Akeva, they learn that from Briyas HaOlam. Veshamai say Shnei Zacharim, they learn it from Moshe Rabbeinu. Not as well known, right? Veshamai Shita Shnei Zacharim, they learn it from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu had Gershom and Eliezer. And what's the raya? Okay, that's what he had. You know, the person who's not blessed with daughters that can't bring a raya from there, that's not part of the mitzvah. So the pshat is that he had a son and a daughter, and then he was Parish Miyishtai. So that must be that's enough to fulfill the mitzvah. Now, the Gemara over there, the same Gemara, Yevamos Daf Samach Beis, the Gemara talks about...
It has to be from the same person?
No.
It has to be from the same woman?
No, not at all, no. The Gemara talks about various shailas in Hilchos Puravu, because Yevamos Samach Beis is the headquarters for the Sugi of Puravu. The Gemara talks about a very interesting scenario. Let's say a non-Jewish person who has a family, he has children, and then he's Megayer. So now, where is he standing relative to the mitzvah of Puravu? So if his children are non-Jewish, so then, for sure, he's not Megayer Puravu. But what if the children are also Megayer? He had children, and he's Megayer, and his children are also Megayer. So one opinion in the Gemara is, that's good enough. Rabbi Yechon says, that's good enough. Rish Lakish says, no. Even though his children were Megayer, and they're Jewish now, but they're not his children anymore, because Gershon is Gar Kachan Eldami. So he wasn't Megayer in the mitzvah of Puravu. So he has to have, so he's still obligated by the Torah's mitzvah of Puravu, he should still try to have children. So Dr. Shav Shmaitz, Miriam saw Moshe Rabbeinu being Perish Me'ishtai, but she thought that I'm not going to say anything because I'm sure he's not doing this himself, it's Alpi Adibur, he got instructions from God. Why am I so convinced that he must have gotten instructions? Because he wouldn't do this on his own when it's in violation of a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah in the Torah, Puravu. How could it be Parish Me'ishtai? Surely he got instructions. Meaning, because she thought that he wasn't Mekayim yet Puravu. Even though he has two sons, but then there was a Geirus, and Gershon and Skarik and Shana Eldami, so they're not his sons anymore. So he's really still obligated in the mitzvah of Puravu. So how could it be Parish Me'ishtai? It must be he was told by the Rosh Hashanah, so I'm not going to criticize. But then, when we go through Parashat Baal Leitzchah, the whole story of Baruch HaMishpachaysav with the and the story of the mind, the whole shtickle that the Shev Shmaitz has just told us, that what emerged from this parasha is that there really wasn't a din of Gershon Hizkara Kan Shnei Lodami on the Geirus of Matan Torah. The Bnei Yisrael wished that there was, but Lemaisa there really wasn't. Oh, if there's no parasha of Gershon Hizkara Kan Shnei Lodami, that means that his children are really still his children. So he was Mekayim Puravu. So then, now when she was Parish Me'ishtai, maybe he was his own judgment. It not necessarily he was told by the Rosh Hashanah. It was his own judgment. If it was his own judgment, then I could criticize it. So that's what the Dabi Miriam Aram Ma'achaisam. That's why that's when they started to tell the Lashon Hara. That's how the Shem Shemayit ties together all the Yonim. But to take out again the kernel from this whole thing, which is really going to get to the whole thrust of the Shir. To the kasha that the Maral asked of Why were they Boichel Mishpachaisav? Why did they become usher on their relatives or even their wives if they were married to a relative? Okay. Whatever happened to Gershon, this guy can't know dummy. So we have this answer that my Rav, the Shev Shmeitzer, works with, is that since the Gerus happened, Bikfia, on that there's no din of Gershon, this guy can't know dummy. Okay, so those are the two, I would call the two preparatory shatim, right? We have one al-Derech HaPshat, one al-Derech Drush. The third answer, which I'm calling al-Derech HaLomdus, is... That's clear, Shaila. Is there a din of Gershon Hizkari Katan Shnayil Dami if someone's Megayer, but he was born from a Jewish mother? Now, obviously your first reaction should be, that's preposterous. There's no such thing. By definition, a Ger is somebody that was not born from a Jewish mother. If he was born from a Jewish mother, he's not a Ger. So, the sugya is as follows. There's a couple of Gemaras and Yevamos. Let's start with the Gemara and Yevamos on Daf Mem Zayin. The Yevamos Mem Zayin is actually... telling us the process that is Gerus headquarters, that the ground zero of Gerus, is telling us the process of how one becomes a Ger. And we know that there's two steps, in the case of a male, there's two steps, there's Mila and Tfila. In the case of a Nekev, it's just a Tfila. The Gemara says that when somebody comes and says, I want to be a Ger, so first we tell him, what do you need to do this for if he persists? So we teach him, Mixas Mitzvahs Kalis, Mixas Mitzvahs Chamurais. And then he says that if he still is interested, Mullen Oise Miyad, he's still interested, we say, okay, fine, we give him the Mila. Then Kishenisrape, after he's feeling better, Matbilin Oisei. So there's two steps, and in between, there's a recuperation period. There's the Mila. Then there's a recuperation. Right? Mila is a surgical procedure, and this is an adult. It's not an 8-day-old baby, so it's he needs some recuperation. So the Gemara says, the Gemara doesn't tell us how long it is, but you can use your own judgment, however long you want. But you have to wait till he's feeling better. So Tosfos, all the Rishonim, they take note of this, that the Gemara threw in Nisrap, Achash and Nisrape, meaning this process is taking like a week longer. Just making up that up. Let's say he needs a week to feel better. This process is taking a week longer than it needed to because we did the Mila first. We did the Mila first. Now he's not feeling well. You can't go on to step two. So you have to wait till he recuperates and then you go on to the Tefillah. We could have expedited the process by just reversing the order. First. Do the Tefillah first. Do the Tefillah. Then come out of the mikvah. Then he doesn't have to get dressed in between. Right? And then you can do the Mila. And then he can recuperate afterwards. They can recuperate as a yid. And we have a klal that we shen him through our wind. Shihui mitzvah loy mashinon. We don't like to delay opportunity to do a mitzvah. Maybe you have a chance to do a mitzvah today or tomorrow. You should do it today. So if this person is coming, to be lachseis hachas kanfei ashchina, why do we do mila then tefila and it takes an extra however long it takes to recuperate? Do the tefila then the mila. It must be, Zaktes, what I see from here is that you don't have a choice of which order to do it. It's not just stomp two steps, make sure they both get done. There is a process, there's an order. It has to be Mila, then Tefillah. That's why you do the Mila, then you wait for the recuperation, then you do the Tefillah, because it has to be Mila, then Tefillah. And the other Rishayim elaborate, they explain, because we find elsewhere, that's the way Tefillah works. Some Rishayim compare it to a title of a Sheretz B'yadai. A tefillah has to complete the process. That's what tefillah is. Tefillah is something that completes the process. You can't do a tefillah when you're still not ready. There's another halacha that they compare when somebody borrows a kli from a goy. So the Gemara of Avodah Zarah says that we're magilin oisan va'achar kach matbilin oisan. You need two things. Again, we're not talking about when you buy new dishes, right? If you buy from a goy, so you have to kasher it. And it needs tefillah. Magilin oisan va'achar kach matbilin oisan. Tefillah is always the last step. So Zok Tosfos, looking at that model, over here also, you have to do the Mila and then the Tefillah. It takes longer? Okay, it takes longer, but that's the way it works. The Tefillah has to come last. You can't do the Tefillah before the Mila.
We want to see if he has Charata. He's in pain for 8 days. Okay. Maybe he'll have Charata.
Interesting,
he won't do the
interesting. Okay.
I don't need this,
It's too late. What's that going to be for him? No, but it's too late for the pain.
He got that, but he doesn't want anything
else. Okay. But Tosfos says, but if this is true, so this is Gemara number one. This is Gemara in Yevamos Daf Mem Zayin. This Gemara indicates to the Rishonim that the order has to be Mila then Tefillah. Problem is, there's another Gemara in Yevamos. This is Daf Ayin Ches, which seems to be a raya to the contrary. The Gemara over there says that ishim uberes shenis gaira, if a pregnant woman is megayeres, bina ein sarach tefila, her son does not need a tefila. He already finished, he already did the tefila. So, the Gemara is meaning, because he did the tefila in utero, right? He was...
The baby's born Jewish.
Hold on. Right. The Gemara says, the way you're looking at it is that he's not really a ger. He doesn't need any gerus process. Yeah. The lashon of the Gemara is, the Gemara says that the son doesn't need a tefila because the mother's tefila helps for him. And the Gemara even then goes through a process. The Gemara says, wait, isn't there a chatzitza? I mean, think about it. This kid just went to the mikveh and didn't even get wet. Right? Isn't there a chatzitza? I mean, he's surrounded entirely by the mother's body. He never came into contact. So the Gemara answer is, well, you're not makbid on this chatzitza, right? You have a halachas, you know, of chatzitza is a ruba yu makbid. But then the Gemara says back, but over here it's more than ruba, it's kula, even in a makbid should be a problem. And finally the Gemara says, yeah, but since Hainu Rabise, since this quote-unquote chatzitza is really the habitat that he needs to thrive, it's not called the chatzitza. That's the discussion of the Gemara. But it's clear from this discussion that the Gemara doesn't mean, oh, he was born from a Jewish mother, so he doesn't need a geirus. He needed a tefillah. Right? If the tefillah wouldn't be, if there would be a chatzitza problem, he would still need a tefillah, meaning he really needs a tefillah. So he's a ger who's getting a tefillah. The tefillah is in utero. No, when's the mila? Now, obviously, the mila, they couldn't do it laparoscopically back then. So the mila, and nowadays, you'd be able to do the mila in utero also. Right. I don't know. But nowadays, right? But certainly, the mila is going to be done later. So the Gemara is saying this tevila helps, even though the mila is going to be afterwards. On Daf Mem Zayin, we had a raya that the mila has to come first. But on Daf Ayin Ches, we have a Gemara where you see the tevila coming first and then the mila. So Tosis says it must be that baby really doesn't need a mila for his geirus. His geirus is complete with just the tevila alone. Tosis says since he's not roi for mila, so his mila is not ma'akev. The other Rishonim, when they're elaborating on Tosis' pshat, the way they explain it is that he's like in a keva. Just like in a keva, the geirus is complete with just the tefila. So a baby in utero, since you can't do a mila, so he's also like in a keva. His geirus is complete with just the tefila. So Tesis' position is that whenever someone needs a mila and a tefila, it has to go in the correct order, the mila then the tefila. There was his rise from the Gemara Fem Zayin. The Gemara Daf Ayin Ches, which appears to indicate to the contrary, Tesis gives a teretz that over there, that case doesn't really need a mila. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban goes the other way around. He says the Gemara Daf Ayin Ches is an insurmountable raya. You have over there a case of a ger who gets his tefila before he's born. Obviously, the mila is going to be after he's born. So that Gemara is a raya that the tefila is allowed to come before the mila. So the order, that means the order is not ma'akev. So fine. So the Ramban passes that way. You're allowed to do the tefila, then the mila. What about the Gemara Daf Mem Zayin? How come over there it said that ordinarily we do the mila before the tefillah? So he said, yeah, that's ordinarily. If we have our choice, we'd prefer to do the mila first. He says a svara similar to what you were saying before, Yitzhak, but sort of the other way around. He says that we want to put in as many deterrents as we can, and the mila is likely to be a deterrent, meaning before he does it, when you know he sees the knife, so he might want to back out. So therefore, we want to do the mila first, in the event that he might want to back out. What the Ramban is saying is that the Gemara Daf Mem Zayin is not a raya that the mila has to come before the tefillah. It's just there's a reason why it's preferable for the mila to come before the tefillah. But push comes to shove, the seder is not ma'akev. If the tefillah comes first, that's okay also, and that's the Gemara Daf Ayin Ches, the tefillah came first. But Tosfos holds no. The Gemara Daf Mem Zayin proves to me that the mila has to come before the tefillah. The Gemara Daf Ayin Ches then is a case where you really don't need any mila at all, and therefore it's okay for the tefillah to come when it comes. So I have a machlokes here between Tosfos and the Ramban. I say a double machlokes. First of all, they're arguing halacha lemaisa by every ger is the seder ma'akev. Everyone agrees that the correct seder, meaning if somebody comes to Basin to get a geirus, Basin is going to tell him to do the mila first, and then when you get better, we're going to do the tefillah. But is the seder ma'akev? According to Tosfos, the seder is ma'akev. If he does a tefillah first, that tefillah doesn't help. He is tefillah for sure. He's going to get the mila, he's going to have to get another tefillah. according to the Ramban, the Seder is not ma'akev. It's true that there is a preferable Seder, Mila than Tefillah, but if you do the Tefillah before the Mila, that's also fine. Mm-hmm. You'll be a good ger either way. So that's the first machlaikas we taste from the Ramban. But secondly, there's a machlaikas here about the case of that pregnant woman, that mu'beres shenesgaira, benoyin sarach Tefillah. When that baby is born, so the baby needs a Mila, but what is that Mila? According to Tosfos, the Geiris is over. The Geiris was just the Tefillah. He needs a Mila now. Like we all need Mila, right? It's a Jewish baby. He needs a Mila. According to the Ramban, he's still in the middle of his Geiris. His Mila is going to be a Mila Shel Geiris. It's not a Mila of a Ben Yisrael. It's a Mila Shel Geiris. The nafkaminas between the two. According to Tosfos, his Mila is Zeicha Shabbos. Right, a baby, a Jewish baby that's born, so is Mila Deicha Shabbos. A Mila of a Ger is not on Shabbos, right? It's not Deicha Shabbos. According to the Ramban, that baby's Mila is not going to be Deicha Shabbos. Maybe even a bigger Nafkamina. According to Tosfos, the Mila has to be on the eighth day, right? Like every Jewish baby boy. According to the Ramban, maybe it could be after the eighth day, and for that matter, maybe it could even be before the eighth day. Yeah. So this, I don't know. I'm just throwing out the question. According to the Ramban, when is that supposed to be? I don't know. But at least it's not it's not obvious to me that it has to be B'yom HaShmini. It could be that it could be whenever you want, because according to the Ramban, that Mila is a Mila Shal Geirus. According to Tosfos, that Mila is a Mila of, he already finished his Geirus, and it's just a regular Mila of a Jewish baby. So now, there's a kasha that the Achrayim ask on the Ramban. A number of Achrayim ask this kasha. According to the Ramban, that this baby is a ger, right? Meaning he, on the eighth day, or whenever they get around to it, maybe not on the eighth day, he's going to get a mila, that'll complete his gerus, and that's when he's going to become Jewish. Up till that point, he's like a ger, she-toval v'leimol, and he's not really Jewish yet. The Gemara in Yevamis, this Gemara is on Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara talks about a woman who's Megayer while pregnant, and she's pregnant with twins. That's the case of the Gemara. She's pregnant with twins. And the Gemara says, if it was Hayurasa Vilei Dasa Shalei B'Kedusha, meaning not the way I just spoke it out, she really wasn't Megayer when she was pregnant. She was pregnant, she had twins, and then afterwards, she was Megayer. So the children are Gayim, obviously. Right. The children were born before the Geirus. They're Gayim. If they're Megayer, if they choose the mice of their mother, you know, when they're, you know, still a few days old or a few weeks old, their mother becomes Jewish, so she's going to bring them along with her. And they'll be Megayer, like a Ger Katan, the Gemara in Suba Daf Yud Aleph, there's a Ger Katan process. They'll be Megayer. Those babies have no Isuri Erva to one another, meaning, let's say, when they get older and they marry, and then one of them divorces his wife, and the other one wants to marry, one of them dies, and the other one wants to marry his wife, they're going to be allowed to marry each other's wives. There's no Isuri Shasach, because they're not really brothers, because Gershon is Gaia, who got in Shanay Lodami. But Zach the Bryce, let's say, it was Heyrasa Shalei B'Kedusha, V'Lei Dasam B'Kedusha, if she conceived before the Geirus, but the Leida was after the Geirus, so then the Gemara says there's an Isuri Shasach. That when they get older, they do have an Isra Eshesach to one another. In other words, they're considered real brothers. There's no Gershon Eskayer Katan Shanel Dami. Now this case, right, this to the way that Bryce phrases it is, you have Shnei Achim Ta'imim, Hayurasin Shalei B'Kedusha, V'Leidasam B'Kedusha. It's exactly the same case as the Gemara in Dafayin Ches of Muberesh and Eskayra. The Gemara over there was looking at it from the point of view of the Muberesh. This Bryce talks about the Ta'umim, the babies. But it's the exact same case, which we saw already that according to Tosfos, these kids are born Jewish. They're already post the Geirus, they're born Jewish. But according to the Ramban, these kids are born Goyim. And their Mila is what completes the Geirus. So then why is there an Isra Shasach? According to the Ramban, why is there an Isra Shasach between them? There should be a Gerush and a Skyr, Kot and Shanel Dami. Just like in the case where the mother is only Megayer, let's say, a week after they're born. We say that they're mutter on each other's wives because Gershon is Gershon and Adami. So, but in the second case, where the mother was Megayer while they were still in utero, what does that help? But they were only Megayer a week after they were born. According to the Ramban, they still need a Mila of Geirus. So they're only Megayer after they're born. So you should have the same Gershon is Gershon and Adami. Why does the Rashi say that over here there's going to be an Isra Shasach? That's the Kasha. It's a 20th century kasha. I'm not sure why. Nobody in the Rishonim they didn't ask this kasha, in the Achronim they didn't ask this kasha until the 20th century. You have Reb Chaim Oizer, the Imri Moshe, the Chedushi HaGranat. These are the Granat. That's from Naftali Trupp. He was the Rosh Hashiva in the Chavetz Chaim. The Chavetz Chaim had a yeshiva in Radin. Officially, the Chavetz Chaim was the Rosh Hashiva, but the Chavetz Chaim was a busy man. He was being Isaac in Tzarchi Tzibur all the time and traveling around. And he hired somebody to be the Magid Shir, the acting Rosh Hashiva. And that was Rav Naftali Trupp. He was one of the big Lamdanim of the Dar.
But these kids are not going to be Baichen because they don't know from anything. They're going to be brought up as Jews all the time.
Right, they'll be brought up as Jews.
As a child.
But they should know, their background.
What?
Their parents should tell them what their status is.
Fine, but they're not going to cry that they can't marry their sister-in-law.
No, that's true. That's true. Right. They won't be Baichel Meshpachaisa.
They're not like, you know.
Right. Adults. We're not talking about them in the context of Baichel Meshpachaisa. Right. So these Achrayim, they asked the Kasher, right? That, again, Bishlam, we have a Machalik Taisa and the Ramban, according to Taisa, their Geirus was completed with the Tefillah of their mother. Very good. But the Ramban holds that the Geirus is only completed with their Mila. And yet the Braisa says that there's going to be an Isra Shesach. So, I mentioned three Svarim, the Stipler also talk. A lot of Achrayim talk about this Kasha, and although each one has a little bit of a different Nusach, but the theme of all of them is the same. That although the Ramban says this kid is a ger, but, right, that's the Ramban Shita, that he still needs a Mila, so when he gets his Mila, when he's a week or 2 weeks old, that completes his gerus. He's a ger. But you can't deny that he's a very unusual ger. He's a ger who was born from a Jewish mother. Mm-hmm. His mother completed her gerus when she went to the mikvah. She went to the mikvah while she was pregnant. He was mamish born from a Jewish mother. And then but he's not fully Jewish yet. He needs a geirus. So the way some of them express it is that he's got a tzad yisrael, that like it's a partial, he's partially Jewish, he's not entirely Jewish. The way Rav Naftali Trupp, he tries to sort of dissect it a little bit more neatly. He says that there's the Jewish identity and in Jewish Kedusha. The Toldas Yisrael and Kedushas Yisrael. He says, there's a Toldas Yisrael which goes by being born from a Jewish mother. If you're born from a Jewish mother, you're Jewish. Kedushas Yisrael, which is the Chiyuv and Mitzvahs. And he is not Chayiv and Mitzvahs. He was born from a Jewish mother, but he's not Chayiv and Mitzvahs. So he gets his Geirus. His Geirus is what completes his Kedushas Yisrael. But even before his Geirus, if we ask him what nation does he belong to, right? The Torah has, you know, the Shivim Umois, there's the Mitzri, there's the Adoimi, there's the Amalekim, the, you know, Knanim, Amoy, Moyov. Well, what nation does he belong to? He's Jewish. He has a Jewish mother. So, right, maybe he has a Jewish father also. That's the Malav Leimari, but he has...
when they were conceived.
They were conceived. The fatherhood maybe would depend, but it's just the mother. They were born from a Jewish mother. The mother was
right,
Jewish.
But they were conceived before she.
True, they were conceived. Yeah, right, they were conceived beforehand. Right. No, but
they
but
a very unusual case where the pregnant is carrying a boy and a girl.
Yeah.
So the girl, Hatfila, she's going to be born.
Right. That's fascinating. Right. Then her Geirus is complete. Her gears would be complete, and her twin brother
would not.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Very unusual.
Right.
Case.
Like, right.
I mean, if that's really
according to the Ramban, according to Ramban, that's what would come out. Let's say you have two brothers, and they grow up, and one of them holds like the Ramban, and one of them holds like Texas. but your case is Gevaldik, right? If one is a boy and one is a girl, then the girl is Jewish from birth, and the boy. But what? But how do we describe this boy? JFB, and but how do we describe this boy? It's this unique scenario. He's a ger, but he had a Jewish mother. So, the way Ramatali says it is that he's a ger vis-a-vis Kedushas Yisrael, but he's Jewish from birth vis-a-vis the Toldas Yisrael. Again, Rabbi Chaim Oizer, the Imre Moshe, they all have similar ideas.
So you can see if you want?
Yeah, it means that theoretically, right, if he would not go to the mikvah, I mean, if he would not get a mila, he would never complete his geirus and he would be a guy. Yes. His sister, right. His sister would be Jewish.
Was he taught the whole Torah Kula in the mother's stuff?
That is a great question, and I don't know. I don't even have a clue.
Were you?
I don't know. But now, just to wrap this wrap this all up and bring it back to the starting point. So if you take a look in the Chedusha HaGranat, that's what Naftali Trop, his shiurim. So he says, again, the way they answer the Kasha and the Ramban, they're all very similar, him and the Rimesha and the Achiezer, Chaim Ezer, all very similar. But the Granat then adds the following. He says, Miktsas Raya, he calls it, to this Shtikl Torah, is the Gemara in Shabbos about Boichel Mishpachaysav. He brings on the Maral's Kasha, and he says the Gemara says that they were crying out, Liskei Arayas Shenesulahem. And the Maral asked the Kasha, well, why were the Arayas Nesulahem? They just went to Kabbalah Tater, which was a Geirus process. Geirus Shenesulahem Shenesulahem. He says, but according to me, what you could say is, yes, they went through a Geirus, but what was Klaisol before Montero? We say Montero was a Geirus. But what were they beforehand? They were the Bnei Avram Yitzchak VeYaakov. They had the Bris Bnei Basarim. They had the special compact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, they were already the Am HaNivchar, the Am Segula, but they just weren't Chayav in Mitzvahs. So they were like this baby boy. The Ramban's baby boy on Daf Tzadi Zayin and Yavamis, that's who the Bnei Yisrael were like before Matan Torah. The gairus that they had is to complete the Kedushas Yisrael, but they already have what Naftali calls the Tolas Yisrael. And Oyvazoy, we already have a Mefurish Araya that there's no din of Gershon Iskari, Kanshan Neil Dami. That's why they were both in the Shpachai Sav.